Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 464, Why Print, Part 2. Wow, last week's episode lit up my inbox. I have a feeling that this is a topic some of you just would love to dive more into. That's way cool. So I appreciate the questions. I appreciate the feedback. And let's keep moving the ball forward. Some of you went and listened to the Howl podcast. Brought up some interesting questions. Some I don't have the answers for. Some we need to find the answers together as a community. But it can be eye-opening. And it is, to me, still amazing the world we live in. So I appreciate some of you listening to my two cents of advice and listening to the Howl podcast. Those who haven't yet might want to check it out. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded using the Adobe Podcast Beta, using their enhanced voice AI to hopefully take out some pops and make it clearer. And the big thing is the levels. It also creates a transcript. You can find the podcast and the transcript there at the blog post on the website, along with a photograph that might be illustrating the podcast. You can also head to iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify to listen to the podcast. Spotify, I want you to head there personally because you can leave a comment. We can have a conversation. That's a really cool thing to do. So, hey, check that out. Now, when it comes to book recommendations, I kind of hinted last week towards a book that I was reading, and I'm reading it. And not that I tend to rip through books and speed read and go through them. But the book I'm reading right now, and I've got to think about it. So it could be a page burner, but I'm listening to every word. It's Perception and Imaging, the fifth edition. It's Perception and Imaging, Photography as a Way of Seeing. And it's by Richard Zakia and John Suler. I knew Richard way back in the day. Really, really, really nice guy. Perception and Imaging. It's a good read. It's from 2017. I found a used copy. Wish I knew about it before and had Richard sign a copy back when he wrote it way back when. But if you want a good book, let me tell you, it's not going to be a quick read. I highly recommend that one. And there'll be more to come from that book. I want to thank my good friend Bedfords, bedfords.com. Some of you pointed out, rightfully so, that I forgot to mention them in last week's podcast. I was just so excited to talk about printing. I went right over my notes and didn't even, and Bedfords, can't forget them. Can't say enough good things about how they take care of us photographers. At least once a week, one of you folks reach out to tell me about your experience with Bedfords and how they either saved your butt and got you a piece of gear you needed in a pinch, or got you an amazing price, or good advice that saved you money. I mean, that's Bedfords all over, plus a whole bunch more. So I apologize for forgetting you last week, but you're always in my thoughts. Bedfords, you can go into one of their 7 stores. You can give them a call. You can go to the web. Just remember that when it comes time to make the purchase, ask for the Moose discount. You'll save 5% after you check out. And That's money that you can spend on more gear or out in the field using the gear. So thank you, Bedfords. Why print part two? Well, floodgate of questions opened up. So what I originally was going to talk about, kind of have to change a little bit, try to see if I can answer some of the questions. One of the big ones concerned about how I translated the picture control numbers into a preset Adobe Camera Raw. I'll be honest with you, it's been so long, I don't remember what started me on that path. I would pretty much guess it was my good friend Vincent Versace, who originally took me way back in 1999 to a, there used to be a convention every year for the photo industry. Different from what you see today that's going on. Anyway, digital was all new. Had a cool pics. D1 was out. And it's in the editorial world, getting your images to the buyer is everything. But a digital file, a editor can't look at a CD. A lot of stuff is Greek to people anymore. But they couldn't look at a CD and see your photograph. They had to see your photograph to know if you had the illustrations for the article. So that means you had to print. So Vinny was really just instrumental in getting, he literally grabbed me by the hand and we went into the convention floor early and he took me to the Epson booth and he laid it all out there for me. The process, not the actual numbers, but the logic behind it. And I'm pretty sure that's what got me going down the road of saying, okay, raw file, picture control, instruction set, carry that on to the computer. And that's how I came up with those numbers. Now, the original process, the only part that I really remember was A, feeling really guilty for what I thought was wasting a whole lot of printing paper. Because I spent about $3,000, and this would have been in 2000, on just paper and ink, printing to get that first baseline set of numbers, which I still use today. They get modified every time I get a new camera and a new way of more information, and I learn more. So they keep getting slightly modified and changed, which is a good thing because the quality and the ease keeps getting easier and better. But that first set of number came from, I'm pretty sure that was the Genesis. Are those numbers global? Can anybody use those numbers that I have and they work? Well, yeah, in the simplistic form, right? Printing is printing by numbers. It's ones and zeros and how they're mixed together. The big factor, of course, is your passion, your heart. And that's where, you know, why print part two comes into place. And it has to do with sharing. So it's been, I guess, 2 months now. And I blogged about it, about going out fishing with Jake. And the second morning, we're at a lake, and here comes a plane on floats that was a friend of ours. And it wasn't we didn't have advance notice he's going to be there. We knew, Jake knew, that he tends to go there and splash quite a bit. Photographed him. Well, as fate would have it, a couple weeks later after that event, almost 2 weeks to the day, he was landing on that lake and one of the struts to the float crumpled. Nothing crippling, but the process of getting the plane out of the lake, the crane operators totaled the plane. It's a really tragic story. I mean, it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's a one-of-a-kind plane that, I don't know how you describe it, but the crane operators just didn't know how to hook up a crane to a plane, and they tore it apart. It's just sad. Now, the photography, as I keep mentioning over and over again, is about sharing memories. So I reached out to the plane owner and pilot, nice guy. And I send my condolences because it's kind of really like the member of the family passing away. And I said, would you like some prints? And he said, oh, I would like a couple. That'd be nice to remember. So I sent him some 6 large prints. And out of the Epson P7000. So they're 24 by 30s. And he got the prints, and I got this email, and he said that he thought he was just going to get a couple 4x6 prints, which that would have been okay. And he got these big ones, which just made him cry. I saw him 2 weeks after he got the prints in person at a fly-in. He said the same thing all over again in line, and all these people were like listening, and he was getting choked up. That's the power of your photography when you share a print. And until you have experienced that moment when you put that print in that person's hand and you see emotions well up, it's hard to imagine. You have that power. You have that ability through your photography when you share it through a print. As you might imagine, though, just sharing a print, just making a print and sharing it, isn't quite the same as when it's a print. Now, I've mentioned many times that I credit a lot of my success in aviation to the fact that I hand those pilots prints. They get big-ass prints because they have big-ass walls on those hangars. Many of you have listened to that piece of advice and have done the same thing, which is really cool. I gotta tell you, it just makes an impression on pilots, plane owners. But here's the next step in this sharing, which is really, really important, because it involves your photography. When you give a print to a pilot and they have a print from another photographer and the other one is better, yeah. Not that they're going to say, oh, you know, and tear up your print and throw it away. They're just, and pilots know this because they've done the same thing in their own learning curve as a pilot. They know you're at the earlier part of your curve than the other photographer who's later in the curve. They don't hold it against you. But understand that you could say, creates a competition. But it's a competition of improving your photography. So when you share, it has even greater impact. And when you have a print that makes a greater impact, just think of the ramification that has for your photography. So how do you do that? How do you get your photography to evolve so your printing evolves? One of the keys is, and some people did mention this, the printing can be expensive. It can be, but last time I looked, the whole photography in Denver, the whole photography experience, for those of us who could talk, is not one of inexpense. It's expensive. But if you want to get your money's worth, shouldn't you aim for improvement, for getting better? And printing is one of the key ways of doing it. If you go to Kelby One and you watch my class on learning from your own files, everything in that class you could do easily extend to the world of printing. Now, being a judge of your photography through a print, you have to start becoming a better printer. And when you become a better printer, you become a better photographer. It sounds like this round robin kind of thing, but, and a couple of you asked, you know, where is the ending point? And the best part is, I don't know of an ending point. I'm not sure there's supposed to be an ending point. printing up an image that I shot a couple weeks ago of a static. And it was of an aircraft, and I was sending it to the owner. And I noticed there was a little, for lack of better terms, goober. And I was looking at this goober that was around the top leading edge of the wing, and I realized that somewhere, be it in my own numbers for Adobe Camera Raw, the way that I processed the image in Adobe Camera Raw, the way I used my net filter, somewhere I had put, not a halo, but a little bit of a dark band around a couple of the, well, it's hard to analyze. I'm still trying to figure it out, which is kind of the beauty of printing. It was easy to deal with once I saw it. And the point is that when I saw the image on the computer monitor, and I'm looking at a 27-inch monitor, it's not like small, not like an iPhone or something, I didn't see it. It's not till I made the 24x30. And I have to tell you, nothing irks me more than to get a 24x30 out and I find a flaw. I just like, oh, geez, how stupid can I be? How blind can I be? Now, some of the printing masters, and I'm not one of them, I'm good at it. I'm not a master. But I do listen to what they have to say. And like anything, I think about it. One of the time-consuming things they do is they really increase the size of the image in Photoshop to the point where you're seeing in a 24x30 print, you're seeing a 2x2-inch square of the print at a time. So a 2x2-inch square of the image is filling the whole monitor. And they go by, and they have a very analog way of going by each one of these squares till they check every square inch of their print for these flaws. It's probably my impatience. I don't do that, but that's where sharing takes your printing and where printing takes your photography. And I got to tell you, just thinking about that excites me to no end. Knowing that a process that I can do when it fits into my schedule that I can look at will improve my photography is so exciting. And when I get to be a better creator, I'm a better storyteller. When I'm a better storyteller, I reach more people. And I reach more people, well, you can understand the ramifications. So in this part two, why print and talk about sharing, that sharing goes many ways. Not only you're sharing with others, but you're sharing with yourself. Why print? You folks have another marvelous week. What do we got? We're coming down to the end of August. Oh, geez. Time flies, but it's good. It's good. You guys take care. And remember to make every click your story.